Welcome to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Filacci, Senior Pastor of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. Our mission is to provide practical application of biblical truth to help you experience true purpose and lasting change that can begin now. Here's Pastor Russ.
We're going to continue in the series, and you know, this better be a good one. I had 2 weeks to think about it, right? Put it together this morning. All right, whatever. I had to practice cornhole, okay? I needed more practice, apparently. All right. Well, let's look at 1 Peter 4. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, it says, arm yourselves, equip yourselves with what? The same mind. Okay, the
same mind.
All right, you all, come on, man. Let's go. Woo! Sorry. It was Sheila's fault. My bad. We're good friends. We're just kidding around. With the same what? Okay. For he who suffered in the flesh, okay, has ceased from sin. What does that mean? Well, what Peter is saying is that as Christ suffered for his righteousness, when we are born again and are done with the life of sin and pursue righteousness, there will be some suffering. There will be suffering on a whole bunch of different levels. But he said, arm yourself with the same mind, because we're about to see something. It's worth it because it's your purpose. Your purpose in following Jesus, your purpose in ceasing from following your sinful desires and turning your mind towards Jesus to pursue his truth, to do his commandments, to pursue righteousness. All of a sudden, your purpose in life has changed. And that's what we're going to look at today, because as I have all of you here today, I could ask all of you to answer this question in your mind. Like, what's your purpose? And just answer it in your mind. Because what we're going to see is that before you knew Jesus and after you knew Jesus, there is two totally different purposes, whether you know it or not. I talk a lot about purpose because purpose is a big deal. Purpose creates motivations. Purpose steers you. Purpose gives you a frame of reference for your life and for others. And you can have short-term purposes, long-term purposes, but the whole idea of a purpose is that there's something of value that's worth pursuing, right? Purpose pulls you through life, right? There's something so important to you. There's something of such significant value that it's worth suffering. It's worth sacrifice. It's worth the determination, right? Purpose is very strong. We were wired to have a sense of purpose. And I think every human being is probably asked, why am I here? Why am I here? And as we're looking at being born again, recreated for influence, that we are here to make a difference, to shed the light of Jesus through our lives, in our lives, we're going to see that we have been repurposed. Anyone ever repurpose anything? Yeah. Like my mom repurposed a fly swatter for a paddle. I mean, she repurposed a lot of things for a paddle. She's not here now, but she's watching. Thanks, Mom. I learned a lot. Right? Repurposing. You take something that has one purpose, but then all of a sudden you use it for another purpose. But that's how we are when we are born again. We can only serve God's purpose when we are born again. Because we have now the Spirit of God that brings Jesus and who he is to life. We are convicted of who he is. We are convicted that his word is truth. We are convicted of sin and righteousness. And we are convicted that there is something bigger in this life than ourselves, right? So, without being born again, we only have the flesh to determine what is valuable enough to pursue. Do you know that? Without the Spirit of God, we only have our minds. We only have our flesh that is separated from God to determine what is worth pursuing, right? So you've got to imagine when all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes upon you and is placed within you, that things change. Your value system changes, right? I would hope so. Because these are important questions to ask yourself to see, where are you in this? If you proclaim to be a Christian, how has your value system changed in terms of what is important in pursuing? What is important to you more than anything? Because we could talk about Recreated for Influence all we want, but if you don't understand that, what we're going to see is that your purpose is to serve the will of God. And through that, you will have influence on your family and on others, because it's what you were repurposed for. There's no other purpose. We're going to see it. Let's break verse 2 down to show you that it's pointing to purpose. He goes, that he or we no longer should what? Live the rest of his time in the, for the, but for the, this is a mission statement. This is the statements of purpose, that without Jesus, all you could do was live in the flesh for the lust of your flesh. Flesh means this. It denotes mere human nature, the earthly nature of man, apart from divine influence. Okay? So the only influence you have is man's influence, your own influence. And therefore, it's prone to sin and opposed to God, because it's just pure flesh. There's no godly influence. And then lust is to set the heart upon something. See, lust isn't just a sexual term. You could lust after a lot of things. You could set your heart on a lot of things and desire it and long for it and covet it. So even good things can become bad things. So what he is saying is, because you now have Jesus in your life, you don't need to live for these fleshly, lustful things anymore. You have a replacement now. There's been something placed within you that gives you a new purpose, a new way in which to live, and it's for the will of God. That's a blanket statement. So you either live for yourself or you live for the will of God. There's like no in-between. Do you notice that? Now, let's look at Romans 12. Because you'll see the same principle repeated over and over again in Scripture, because we need to hear it over and over again, right? Because I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, because we need to kill that thing. Because that thing was driving purpose from the human nature point, right? Viewpoint. So we got to kill that thing so God's nature in us can begin to drive our sense of understanding of who we are and why we are here and our sense of purpose. He goes, so kill that thing, living sacrifice, make it holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service in light of the cross. Then he goes, and do not be conformed to this world. What does the world say? Follow your heart. We just did a whole series on that, right? God's like, I gave you a new heart. I gave you a new understanding. Why? Let's watch. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, know what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Go back. I'm going to go back up to Peter. You don't have to follow me. He goes that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Let's jump back to Romans 12. That you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is our purpose? Woo! Guess what? God's will for your life could, there's different, God's will could be very specific for a very specific point in time. It could be long term, it could be short term. There's so much to the will of God that can be found and known because we have His Spirit within us. The will of God can be found in the middle of your job, in the middle of your family, in the middle of wherever you are. There is a will of God to be discerned and to be followed, right? But we spend a lot of time still wrestling with my desire, right? God's desire. My will, God's will. Come on, every one of us experiences that tension. We take blessings and turn them into idols without even realizing it. And our purpose gets wrapped up in what we do instead of who we serve. Right? So easy to do. Why? Because we can see it. We can touch it. Taste it. Right? Isn't it hard? Come on. It's so hard to stay just so dialed in. I'm waking up to do the will of God. Might be easy to say in the morning with your first cup of coffee and you don't have people around you or other things. But we still battle that fleshly part of us that gets entangled in the world, and we still are not, we're conformed to that way of thinking. And then our purpose gets attached to things that have no real power to give us life that the Spirit of God can. And so our jobs become very empty because we are trying to extract something that it was never meant to give. Because it's not bad to have a job. You have gifts and talents. It's not bad to desire to be employed or desire to have a wife or a husband or kids. You know, but if those things are your sole purpose, you will find eventually that the value that you have placed ultimately begins to diminish. And you're left wanting. Because we know that kids go through phases. We're about to send our first off to college. I'm dying. You know, because it's different. But if all I had was my kids and I had nothing else driving my sense of purpose, you could see how that could wreck you for a while, right? But we attach to what we see. Like, what if I were just like right now, just in this room, without being spiritual, okay? Without being spiritual, okay? Just fleshly. And however you determine value, like, to you, what's the most valuable thing to you, like, in this room as you look around? Oh, thank you. I wasn't. Oh, it can't be spiritual. Husband? Anything else? Friends? Keyboard, drums, but we're looking around, right? And we're kind of, okay, yeah, husband, family, stuff. I would dare say that the most important thing in this room is oxygen. That's pretty good, huh? Guess what you can't see? Oxygen. Guess what you need? As precious as your life is, without oxygen, it ain't going to be living. Do you see? We don't see it, but we know, but we forget. It is the most valuable, essential thing in this room right now is oxygen. And if I said we had 2 minutes of oxygen left, most of you would probably run out of here, right? To find oxygen. When people come to Colorado, what do they experience? A lack of oxygen. They are not even thinking about oxygen until they get off the plane in Denver, Colorado. And they're like, what's this? I remember when we visited, when we were moving here, it was right before eighth grade, and, you know, we came and we went up to Loveland Pass, and, you know, we got to the top and we're like, oh, look, snow! And we saw the snow drift, and we ran all the way down this hill to the snow, and we're like, you know, playing in the snow. It's like in June, and this is like incredible for us. And then we ran back up, tried to run back up the hill, and then something happened. I began to see spots and began to feel nauseous. And I'm like, what is happening to me? And they're like, you don't have any oxygen. And then I realized, okay, I shouldn't have done that. But you see, it's the unseen. Do you understand that the will of God, the invisible God who has grabbed you and pulled you into his family and placed his spirit within you and breathed purpose into your life, sometimes it's hard because you don't see it. But it's essential to your life. Everything you do outside of the Spirit of God is dead. It's without oxygen. Jesus said, if you're attached to me, you can do anything, but without me, you can do nothing. So we have to attach our lives, everything, who you are, every aspect of who you are, to the reality that God's will is our purpose. This is a hard shift. I'm not saying this is easy. But when you know that you've been called into a purpose, and that is to serve God and his will, to obey, why? Because it's life, it's oxygen. We were without oxygen before Jesus. Let's look at this value statement. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the what? Set their minds on things of the flesh. Of course. That's all you have. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be fleshly or carnally minded is what? Yes. Say it again. Yes. How easy is it to be carnally minded? Very easy. Let's not fool ourselves. But to be spiritually minded is what? Who wants life and peace? If you could order life and peace on Amazon and have it tomorrow, would you order it? Yes. Yes, you would. But yet, I think sometimes we turn our belief into religion and we forget the value of it. We forget that it's who we are created to be in seeking the will of God and obeying his commands and obeying the will of God in terms of as he speaks to us and leads us and helps us see differently, that there is life in that. We're not just doing it to check off the boxes so God is happy. We need to know that the value of being recreated and reborn is that you are born into life. But why do we resist it? Why do we hold on to so many of the things? Why do we hold on into the old ways? Why do we hold on to fear and anxiety? Why do we hold on to those things? Because so often fear is the fear of losing something, right? And don't get me wrong. Yes, loss is hard. But when all your life and purpose is poured into something, you could see why you're anxious. Because if that thing's gone, you're gone. So check your fear. See what's going on with that. And know that Jesus said to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Sometimes God's will is to just seek him in the middle of a fear storm or an anger storm or a worry storm, right? Again, your purpose is rooted in Christ. And it doesn't mean difficulty won't come. It doesn't mean that you won't be affected by loss. We're human beings. But when you feel like you would die if this happens, that's where we have to say, but no, Lord, you are still here. Nothing separates me from you, right? Nothing separates me from your love and your will. Nothing. So even in the darkest of storms, even in the deepest of valleys, there is a will of God. Let's look at this. Let's just look at the value of seeking worldly things. Ecclesiastes 2:3. I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine. while guiding my heart with wisdom. So, anyway. And how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses, and I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. Sounds like a great life, honestly. Sounds like the American dream. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers. Imagine just having singers in your house just singing some background music for you all the time. Following you everywhere. It's like your theme music, just following you everywhere. It would be awesome. Your entourage. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. All my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. But then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was what? And grasping for the wind, there was no profit under the sun. But that's what you live for. You want to talk about value and purpose. What Solomon just experienced, that's what you live for, right? All the things and the security and houses and savings and singers. What I love what he said, there was no profit. It was all for nothing. It was all vanity. It was all self-serving. So why are we here? To do the will of God. Because without it, there's no profit. And guys, this isn't to make us feel bad. I'm not saying quit your jobs and go live in the mountains in a cave. This is just inserting your purpose into whatever you do, knowing that there's a bigger reason for your life than what your responsibilities are. Do you know that? And there's life and peace in the seeking, in being spiritually minded. Jesus even says, Matthew 6:19, he goes, hey, y'all, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Come on, I know you want to, but don't. Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your what? Right, do you see? It's a matter of the heart. We get so invested in things, and they could be good things, right? But if our heart is with them, meaning it is our source of life, that's where we are in for a rude awakening. Jesus is warning us, like, do the will of God, store up for yourself treasures in heaven through your obedience. Have a bigger picture of what life is about and what your life is meant for. He's trying to rescue us while you're in the middle of doing it, right? Because all of us at some level are seeking to kind of build up our storehouses, right? To do the things. But we have to be careful because they can consume us. It's a balance. We have to look at our lives and remind ourselves, why am I here? To do the will of God. Why am I here? To do the will of God. Why am I here? To do the will of God. Man, I'm just worried. Why am I here? To worry? No, to do the will of God. Why am I? This is why it says be transformed here. This is hard work. Do you know that transformation isn't just an instant thing? It's a constant thing. It's a constant. That's why I've heard like specialists say these crash diets aren't good because you're not really changing your life. You're doing something for a short period of time and then going right back to what you're used to. He's like, no, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle change. It's being transformed by how you look at food, how you eat food. It's fixing how you think about something. So I'm here to help us all fix how we think about our lives. And no, in great success, God's like, there is great opportunity. Great opportunity for influence. In difficulty, know that he is building you up so that you can be of influence to do his will. How you act in the middle of difficulty can either help you grow or stay. Sometimes the best way to grow in purpose is to go through a trial. So God is trying to recalibrate, again, your mind, helping it in its transformation. So here's another value statement. I'm trying to really convince you all. Jesus said, hey, now, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he's going to go in and out and find some nice pasture. Now, the thief does not come except to what? Steal and kill and to destroy, and he does that through the lust of the flesh. Remember, he told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, you can have all of this, right? You can have all of this. So, bless you. But what does he say? I have come that they may have what?
Life.
What?
Life.
One more time?
Life.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
And that they may have it more what?
Life.
Is he telling the truth?
Yes.
Do you know that we get in the way of this a lot? See, abundant is superabundant in quantity. It's superior in quality. Who wants superior and quality life? It's life that exists outside of things, outside of the perfect situation. It's a life that transcends all of that. Who would love to be steady? Who would love to know that no matter where you are in life, there is a purpose to be lived out? Because I think sometimes in the lowest part of our lives, we feel like there is no purpose, there's no point in living. And God is like, there's every reason to live, right? He saved you to live. He saved you to live. And your life and how you live is a testimony. Colossians 3:1. If then you are what? Were you raised with Christ?
Yes.
Born again? Seek those things which are where? Okay, oxygen is invisible. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. To seek is to desire and have a passion for. How do we begin to seek the things above? Where do we find the ways of God? His word. His word. Some of you need to get in the word so you can begin to understand what those things above really are and how they look. You don't just get them from Christian songs. You get it from the living word of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the what? For you died and your life is hidden in with Christ in God. And when Christ, watch this, who is what? I've never saw that before. When Christ, who is our what? So what is our source of life? Christ. Is it your family? No. Friends? No. Money? No. Job? No, these are blessings. They're not your source of life. It's your oxygen. Now, then you shall appear with him in glory, meaning we will come to our perfect state of existence when he returns and talk about experiencing abundant life for all of eternity. But we could still connect to Jesus. We are in Jesus. We are covered by Jesus. He is in us. We are in him. We don't have to conjure him up. He is with us through his spirit. His word speaks. His spirit confirms that his word is true. And he gives us direction. See, watch. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are whose workmanship? His workmanship. Created where? Where? You see, you were created in Christ Jesus. You were reborn in Christ Jesus for what?
Good.
Any questions? See you later. Those good works are the will of God. We are here to live for the will of God. He speaks to us through his Spirit to lead us in good works, which you were created for. Every one of you need to know that you have been recreated in Christ for good works. And there's no end to what those can look like. And they can begin happening right where you are right now, no matter how difficult of a circumstance you find yourself in, no matter how old you are or how young you are. Created in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared before him that we should walk in them. Awesome. That's right, man. You see, it's really good news if you believe it. This is why Paul says to Timothy, all right, hey, Timothy, remember this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the will of God, that the man of God, woman of God, may be what? Thoroughly equipped for? It, like it all fits together like a puzzle. So any question as to what your purpose in Christ is now? To do the will of God, which ultimately is good works. And how do you become equipped for that? Through the Word of God. And he became flesh. And he walked amongst us to say, hey, this is what it looks like. Now follow me. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. Why? Because the old you still wants to follow the flesh. It's a battle. That's why Jesus said, guys, you got to do this daily. You got to do it daily. It's not just a one-time deal. And you think everything's fine. It's daily. Because some weeks, that flesh comes in like a hurricane. And that's when you got to start here going, no. So, guys, this is, incredible news. Hopefully you are encouraged. And I would say this week, when you wake up, ask yourself, why am I here? Because something gets us out of bed every morning, right? Why are you here? Why are you here? And remind yourself and let his word speak to you. You see, when a whole body of believers becomes sold on this, things really begin to shift and change. And that's what I'm praying for all of us to be elevated in our understanding of what our purpose is. That we see the oxygen for what it is. It's our lifeline. Amen. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this word. Lord, thank you for the reminder. Sometimes we just need a good old-fashioned reminder of why we are here. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would seal everything that would need to be sealed in each heart today so that we could wake up, go into this world knowing that you are with us, nothing will separate us from you, and that we are here to serve you and to do your will. And in that, others are served. Others see the glory of your name, and we thank you for that, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We thank you and glorify your holy, awesome name. Amen. And before we... I just want to pray for a few individuals here. If you want, we have some minutes. Talk about doing the will of God. We have a whole team going up to Camp for Change to minister with 25 youth that are in the foster care system. This could be an incredible week for them, as we know, right? So if you're going up, just stand up where you are. I just want to pray for you all as you get ready to leave. I think you're leaving today for Camp for Change. So let's pray for them right now. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this team. I pray that you would speak loud and clear through your Spirit as they love and minister to these kids, Lord, that they serve these kids in a way that shows them there's something else. There is a hope beyond what they know and understand. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for each heart here today that is putting their week aside to go up and just be a servant. Lord, I pray that your love would invade these kids' hearts. Just invade their hearts, Lord. Give them something that Lord, this sticks. So as they go back into whatever situation they're going back into, Lord, they know that you are real and are alive. Amen.
You've been listening to Applied Faith with Pastor Russ Felici, an outreach of Christian Church of Broomfield, located in Broomfield, Colorado. To contact Pastor Russ, visit his website at russfelici.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, an alive faith is an applied faith.